This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam. Ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. So inshallah ta'ala, this evening is going to be our last tafsir class, probably until after Ramadan, realistically. Inshallah, when we started this tafsir class, we started with a goal. And our goal was to complete Juz Amma. And we said we would consider Juz Tabarak if it was possible. But the main goal was to finish Juz Amma. And inshallah ta'ala, today we will finish, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, Juz Amma. And inshallah ta'ala, from that we can take a break. And inshallah, maybe after Ramadan, we can resume with Juz Tabarak, inshallah. And until then, we can complete some of the books that we haven't been able to complete. So it's going to be a break in classes for about 3 weeks anyway, while I'm away. And then inshallah, when we come back and we resume the classes, we'll try to finish some of the books that we hadn't been able to finish up to now, and some of them that we left incomplete. We reached the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Ibn Kathir, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal informs us about those who will be eternally happy and what He has prepared for them from the blessings that last forever. He said, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Ibn Abbas and Al-Dahhak, they said, متنزها. And Mujahid and Qatada, they said, فازوا فنجوا من النار. He said, والأظهر هاهنا قول ابن عباس. Here, the statement mafaza, what does it mean in the language? What does the word mafaza mean in the Arabic language? It comes from the word fawz, right? يعني ظفرة بالمطلوب يعني ونجا من المرهوب. That's what they say. That he got what he wanted and was saved from what he was scared of. He got what he wanted and he was saved from what he was scared of. And this is the linguistic meaning of al-fawz. So when he says mafaza, mafaza here, that the person, the believer, المتقون, the people of taqwa, the people who do what Allah commanded and keep away from what Allah prohibited, those people will get what they were seeking and will be saved from what they were scared of. Or mafazan here is a place of al-fawz. This is another linguistic meaning. They said that mafazan is makan al-fawz, the place of success. And the place of success is Jannah. However, here, Ibn Abbas and Al-Dahhak here, who they said it is a place of like a nuzha, where you go when, you know, when a person wants to see beauty around them and to experience a beautiful place, and they want to take a break from the hardships of the world, and they go and they separate themselves, they go out into, you know, next to a beautiful river, a beautiful countryside, a beautiful setting. This is the meaning that Ibn Abbas gave for the ayah about mafaza. The problem is, even though Ibn Kathir says this is the apparent meaning of the ayah, the problem is that it's not what the word means in Arabic. So where did Abdullah Ibn Abbas take this meaning from? He took it from the context. He took it from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. So in other words, here what Ibn Abbas is doing is he's giving you the meaning, he's giving you the understanding of the word, not the meaning of the word. And that the reason I mentioned that is that happens in tafsir. Sometimes it can be a little confusing, or it can cause a little bit of misunderstanding among the scholars of tafsir and what you see from them. Is that sometimes the scholar of tafsir may not give you the meaning of the word at all. They may give you the conclusion of it. The conclusion of mafazan What is it that they get that's successful? What are they wanting and what are they wishing to keep away from? They want Jannah and they wish to keep away from the fire. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Or we say that مَفَازًا is مَكَان الْفَوْز, the place where you are successful. And the place where they are successful is Jannah. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. The word حَدَائِق here, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it as though it's a replacement, as though it is a replacement for the word مَفَازًا. يعني أبدل, يعني as if you can replace one with the other. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابًا. Here the question is, Allah Azza wa Jal describes حَدَائِق, gardens. Actually the word حَدِيقَ is only used for a garden that is walled, sealed off. Otherwise it's not called a حَدِيقَ. It's called a bustan. But it's not called a حَدِيقَ unless it is walled, fenced off, protected what is inside of it. Even the word Jannah, even though originally the word Jannah, it means a garden. It means a garden where its vegetation is so thick that you can't see what is inside. It's again, it's a walled garden. You can't see what is inside from outside of it. So the word حَدِيقَ is a walled garden. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the walled gardens and He mentions al-a'nab, the grapes. Here the question is, why is it that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the success of the believers or the people of taqwa, and then He only, in this He mentions these two things? For example, if we say that the word حَدَائِقَ is a replacement here for the word مَفَازًا, then it's as if any that it we need to understand, is it the case that that is all that is in Jannah? And the thing that they will get is حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابًا and that's it. That's not the case, right? Because we know the description of Jannah in the Quran is varied every single time. And we took a principle in the beginning when we started the tafsir of Juz Amma. We said that there is no tikrar in the Quran. There is no repetition in the Quran. The Quran doesn't repeat itself for no reason. If you look at the description of Jannah in the Quran, the description of Jannah in the Quran is different in every place. And each one is suited to what is being spoken about in that particular time. So some of the scholars, they said this means some of what they will get. يعني حدائق من حدائق, يعني of the things they will get is gardens, and from the things they will get is grapes. And some of them said it has مبالغة, it's exaggerated. حدائق وأعنابا. حدائق وأعنابا. This is what Abdullah ibn Abbas referred to when Abdullah ibn Abbas said the tafsir of مَفَازًا is this, any escaping to a place of beauty. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is telling you the conclusion here, the end result. The word itself, it means a place of success or it means success. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. They will have gardens, and the gardens are those which are walled, the walled gardens, and they will have أَعْنَابَ. Here, the grapes that are mentioned, we need to remember something. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا in Surah Al-Baqarah, that they have been given things which are similar but different. Some of the scholars said the similarity is what they were given before, meaning that they were given grapes before and then they are given grapes again, and the grapes seem to be the same, but when they taste the grapes they are completely different. And some of them said وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, it refers to the dunya. That these, they can recognize that they are grapes, even though they are nothing like the grapes of the dunya. They are nothing like the grapes in this world, but they recognize them. There is a tashabuh, like I know these are grapes, but they're not like the grapes of this world. They are completely different thing. They are completely different thing. Hada'iqa wa a'naba. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, inna lil muttaqina dhafaran bima talabu min hada'iq wa a'nab. Bi'tibari anna, and he said that inna lil muttaqina dhafaran bima talabu min hada'iq wa a'nab. That the people of taqwa will have the success of what they were wanting and being saved from what they were scared of, and among these things will be gardens, and among these things will be grapes. Some of the scholars of tafsir said the mention of grapes here is because they are from among the sweetest of fruit, and among the most beautiful, and among the most beneficial of them. But otherwise in Jannah, as we know, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. That which no eye has seen and no ear has heard and nobody has ever thought of. And so the hada'iq and the a'nab which are described here, the gardens and the grapes which are described here, are a part of what the people of Jannah will receive. They are not all of what the people of Jannah will receive. They are just a part of what the people of Jannah will receive. And they don't resemble the fruits of this world at all. Like Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. مَقْطُوعَةٍ is that the fruit doesn't have a season. You know, in this world, the fruits, the thimar of this world are maqtu'ah. You get them at one time, you don't get them at another time. You can buy them in one place they've sold out. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, لا مقطوعة. They are never cut off from them. They're always available. ولا ممنوعة. ممنوعة is that it is prevented to some people. Some people are not allowed to have it. And that's the case in this dunya. Like some things, no, this is only for a certain group of people. This is not for you people. People like you don't eat things like this. Or people, this kind of food is not for people like you. It's never cut off from them, and nobody is ever prevented from it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. They will have whatever they ask for. Some of the scholars, they said, every time they want something, they will get what it is that they want. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. Al-kawa'ib is a description of a woman. And here Ibn al-Kathir, he said, وَحُورًا كَوَاعِب. حُورًا كَوَاعِب. Meaning the word kawa'ib, it refers to the hur al-ain, the women of Jannah. And the word kawa'ib is the plural of ka'ib. And it's a description of a woman. It's very common in the poetry of the Arabs that they use this word to describe a woman. And it's a woman who is full-chested. And she's not a woman who has changed through age. Ka'ib or kawa'ib is a description of her chest. But it's a description of a chest that is firm and it hasn't sagged through age. And that's why they use the word ka'ib. They said tashbihan bil ka'ib, like resembling the bone of the ankle. How the ankle bone is firm and it juts out and it doesn't move. And it is, that's how the Arabs, it's one of the descriptions you find many times, the description in Arabic poetry, classical Arabic poetry. Wa kawa'ib, any firm chested, that they haven't been, as a woman changes through age and her chest begins to sag and she becomes old and the people don't want to marry her, they don't, you know, this is the meaning here. Kawa'ib, that they are not like that. Kawa'ib, yani Ibn Abbas and Mujahid and others, Ibn Kathir, he said, kawa'ib, yani full-chested. Atraba, that they are of a similar age, or that they are of the same age. again, that they don't age. And the Hur al-Ain in Jannah, they don't age. They don't age. And they don't become old. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, He mentions the women who become old in the Quran. In several places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the women who become old, and those who no longer want to get married, or those who people no longer want to marry them. And this is the opposite meaning of like al-qawa'id min al-nisa, those older women who there is no harm in them to leave off the more strict rules of dress code and so on, because they don't have any desire for nikah. They don't have any desire to marry, and no one has any desire to marry them. And yet Allah Azza wa Jal said, kawa'iba atraba, that they will be of a similar age, yani of youth, and they will not be old, nor will they get old. They will not become old. Some of the scholars, they said, this is ablaghu bin ni'ma or bin na'im. That this is more like, the meaning here is to emphasize the blessings of Jannah. Now, if you look at the blessings of Jannah here, it's interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions among the blessings of Jannah, He mentions things that Muslims give up in this world. And they give it up for the sake of Allah. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. They give up alcohol. They give up, you know, running after women that are not permitted for them. They give up many of the blessings of this world, or the na'im of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages them that by giving up these things and being from the muttaqoon, the people who protect themselves from the punishment of Allah through doing good deeds and keeping away from that which is haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them with a victory and a success that will entail them being given what they kept themselves away from in this world. حدائق وأعناب وكواعب أتراب وكأسا دهاقا. And like the poet said, لا خير في لذة من بعده النار من بعدها النار. يعني there is no benefit for a pleasure that after it comes the fire. But the believers who keep themselves away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them with things that they were not permitted in this world. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Al-Ka's here generally is used for a cup of wine. Usually, the word ka's in Arabic usually is used for wine. It's very rarely used without alcohol, the word ka's. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Ibn Abbas, he said, مَمْلُوءَ مُتَتَابِعًا. It is a glass that is filled up. It's a glass that is filled up full, and one after another. And it's given one after another. The glass is filled time and time again. And all of the meanings of the scholars of tafsir, really most of them go around this meaning. Actually, Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates this meaning from Al-Abbas. He narrates this meaning from his father Al-Abbas, that he heard him say, use this word, yani dihaqa. He heard him use this word to mean, and he meant by it, yani fill it up for us. Idhaq, use the word like that. Fill it up, something like idhaq lana, yani fill it up for us. And he narrated this from Al-Abbas from the point of view of what? From the point of view of narrating how the Arabs used to speak. That the Arabs used this word, dihaqa, to mean filling up the glass until it's full, one time after another. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. Ibn Kathir, he said, كقوله لا لغو فيها ولا تأثيم. اللغو is the, يعني اللغو are the actions and the speech which is, or speech which is false, false speech, or pointless, wasteful speech, or pointless speech. And it includes also music, it includes sins, it includes the things which are people waste their time with. All of this is called a lagh. Allah Azza wa Jal said, "La yasma'una fiha lagwa." They will not hear in it lagwa. Here in it refers to Jannah, according to most of the scholars of tafsir, and some of them said it refers to the alcohol. How does it refer to the alcohol? La wa ka'san dihaqa wa ka'san dihaqa la yasma'una fiha. Meaning in the places where the alcohol is drunk, in general. Because in the places where alcohol is drunk in this dunya, what do you get? Laghu. You know, pointless, foolish speech, bad language, people shouting and screaming at each other. There is no laghu in the places that the alcohol is drunk in general. However, the first meaning is more apparent. Because the first meaning includes the second one. La yasma'una fiha lagwan. They won't hear in Jannah. In Jannah, they will not hear lagw. They will not hear any vain talk or idle talk or wasteful or any foolish talk. They will not hear any of it in Jannah. Not in Jannah and not in the places in Jannah where the khamar, where the wine is drunk. وَلَا كِذَّابًا. كِذَّابًا here, what it means is, some of them said that the word كِذَّابًا here, it means تَكْذِيب بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضُ, or something close to that. That's what they said. That when people are, you know, they don't believe each other, or they accuse each other of lying. When one of them says, no, this didn't happen, no, you're not telling, it wasn't like that. And this, it's a kind of vain talk. It's a kind of vain talk. Ibn Kathir, he said, لَيْسَ فِيهَا كَلَامٌ لَاغٍ عَارٍ عَنِ الْفَائِدٍ. Any type of speech that doesn't have a benefit is called love. وَلَا إِثْمُ كَذِبٍ. And nobody, Ibn Kathir, he said, nobody will lie. Nobody will lie, or nobody will say to each other that you lied. Nobody will lie, or nobody will say to each other, you're a liar. And from the benefits Ibn Kathir he mentioned here is, بَلْ هِيَ دَارُ السَّلَامِ. دَارُ السَّلَامِ, the word salam, people mistranslate it. They translate it as meaning peace. But it doesn't mean peace here. It means السَّلَامَ مِنْ كُلِّ نَقْسٍ وَعَيْبٍ. It means to be free of every flaw and every shortcoming. So it is a place, Jannah is free of uyub, it's free of flaws, it's free of evil, it's free of sin, it's free of shortcomings, it's free of people doing things that are not right. And from that point, he said, it's free of speech that has no benefit. That's how he defined the lagh. The speech that has no benefit. Wasteful speech or idle speech. And he said kithaba, it means kadiba, it means there will not be any lying. And others, they said the meaning of kithaba, la yukadhibu ba'duhum ba'da. That's what Ibn Jalil, he said, la yukadhibu ba'duhum ba'da. They will not accuse one another of lying. Because in paradise there is nothing except truthfulness and beauty in every aspect of it. So they will not hear anything, nor will they see anything, nor will they taste anything or drink anything except that it is perfect and beautiful, and that it is a blessing and a cause of happiness. There was a benefit some of the scholars of tafsir they brought, and I thought it was beneficial, in the statement of لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. And that this ayah, by its understanding, discourages us or forbids us from engaging in wasteful speech and from engaging in maybe what they call ta'liq, just always having comments to make about what people say. And that's true, because the ayah itself, if it tells you that in Jannah there will not be any of this, for it is an indication to us that we shouldn't have this in our gatherings. Our gatherings should not have a laghu, wasteful speech, people talking foolishly and you know, silly talk. And our gatherings shouldn't have in it al-kadhib, lying, even if you're joking. And our gathering shouldn't have everyone always commenting on what someone else has to say. Some people, they feel like they cannot, somebody cannot speak without them having to bring something that they have out, a comment that they have. And this is a kind of yani kidhab that is mentioned here. That somebody says something, the other one says, no, you know, I think it's not like that. I know, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to tell you it's like this. And so on. And this kind of constantly commenting and not agreeing with what other people say and always having something to add at the end, this is a kind of, is part of what is the meaning, لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. جزاء من ربك, it is a recompense from your Lord. Jaza, it can be for good, it can be for bad, right? The word jaza, it can be for good and it can be for bad. The meaning of jaza here is for good. It is a reward from your Lord. Ata'an, it is a gift from Allah, which is hisaba. Here the word hisab, Ibn Kathir, he says, kafiyan, wafiyan, shamilan, kathira. He brings four meanings, and all of these meanings are mentioned by different scholars of tafsir. Ibn Kathir brings them all. Kafi. We know this. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for me. And hasbi kafani. And hasbi Allah, Allahu kafi. Allah is sufficient for me. Allah is sufficient for me. So they said hisaban here, what it means is kafiyan, that it is a reward that will be sufficient for them. Everything that they need, everything they could imagine, it will be enough for them. Wafiyan, and it's an expansive reward. Shamilan, it will encompass everything they could ask for. Kathiran, and it is vast. And all of those meanings are relatively close together. What we have to remember is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لن يدخل أحدكم الجنة بعمله. لن يدخل أحدكم الجنة بعمله. None of you will enter Jannah because of your actions. This is found, there's evidence for this in the ayah. And the evidence in the ayah is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ata'an. Al-ata', many times if you think about the words Allah uses for Jannah, even the words Allah uses for Iman, those words generally are words that are ni'mah, al-fadl, al-ata', al-nuzul. These are all words that you use for something which is not deserved. You don't say, if you work hard 8 hours, you don't go to your boss at the end of the day and say, I want fadl. You go and ask for your ajr and your ratib. And you give me, I worked 8 hours, now give me my, I deserve it now. Give me what I deserve. And you don't use the word ni'mah. Don't say, can I have a ni'mah from you? I've come for my ni'mah. Say, no, I've worked for you, now pay me my money. The words that are used in the Quran for Jannah And for Iman and for Islam are words like ni'ma, fadl, nuzul, ata. These words are all what you give someone when they don't deserve it. And ni'ma is what you give someone extra. Fadl means on top of what they deserve. Fadlul ma is the extra water that's left over, right? The extra water that's left over, we call it fadlul ma, the extra water that's left over. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla said about your iman, fadlan min Allahi wa ni'ma, it's a grace from Allah and a favor. It's not something that you deserve. None of you will enter Jannah because of your deeds. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, not even I, unless Allah encompasses me with His mercy. So what is the role of the deeds then? If the role of the deeds is not that the deeds don't get you Jannah. The deeds are a sabab, they're a cause. They're a cause for Allah's mercy. As Allah said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ. Doesn't Allah know best those who are grateful? And Allah said at the end of the ayah in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah knows and is wise in who He gives His gift to. It's a gift. It's a gift from Allah. But Allah Azza wa Jal is wise in knowing who to give that gift to. It doesn't get given to everybody and anybody. It gets given to those who strive and work hard for it, and those people who are trying, and those people who are working hard for that blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to them through the cause of their heart, their good deeds. So it's not random that Allah gives this gift. It's a gift from Allah, but He doesn't give it randomly. He gives it according to His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ata'an hisaba. It's a gift from Allah that it is more than enough for them. More than enough for them. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said about it, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Because the jaza is hisaba, kafiyan, wafiyan, shamilan, kathiran. It's vast and plentiful and more than enough for what they want. So they are content with it. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَنِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا. And then we're going to talk about the end of the ayah. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This goes back to جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. The reward comes from your Lord, right? The reward comes from your Lord. And your Lord is Rabbi Samawati wa Ard. Your Lord is Rabb As-Samawati wa Ard, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We spoke about already in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, the meanings of the word, the meanings of the word Lord, and what it means. And we spoke about the word Lord. We spoke about As-Sayyid, Al-Malik, Al-Muta'a, that the one who is in charge of everyone, and the one who is the sovereign and owner of everything, and the one who is obeyed. That these are from the meanings of the word Rabb. And from the meanings of the word Rabb is Al-Murabbi, the one who nurtures and causes his servants to grow and to develop. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the Lord of everything in the heavens and the earth. And this also tells us that al-ata wal-jaza are from the meanings of rububiyyah. Remember, rububiyyah, lordship for Allah, what it really means is, the word rububiyyah really means it's all around what Allah does, what Allah's actions, and the oneness of Allah through His actions, that no one does what Allah does except Him. And therefore, al-ata, giving, and al-jaza, rewarding, is from the meanings of al-rububiyyah. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla twice related these rewards and blessings to the word al-rabb. جزاء من ربك. عَطَاءً حِسَابًا رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَنِ And what is between them? الرَّحْمَنِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا We already spoke about the meaning of the word, of the name. الرَّحْمَنِ Why the name الرَّحْمَنِ here? Perhaps this is an indication, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, of the need of Allah's mercy to gain that reward to enter Jannah. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَنِ He is the most merciful. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا Ibn Kathir, he said, no one is able to address him except with his permission. Like he said, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ And like he said, يَوْمَ يَأْتِ لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Who is it that can intercede with him except with his permission? And on the day which will come that no one will speak except with his permission. No one is able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with his permission. And no one is able to intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with his permission. And no one is able to ask Allah azza wa jal except with his permission. Ibn Jarir, he said the same thing. No one is able to begin addressing him except with his permission. وَهَذَا He said, and this is, it encompasses both الشَّفَاعَ وَالسُّؤَالِ Intercession or asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for anything. And other things as well. And it's a comprehensive term. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى The meaning of Ar-Ruh here. It said that Ar-Ruh here is Jibreel. This is one of the most famous statements here. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ Ibn Kathir, he said, المراد بالروح ها هنا هو جبريل. Ar-Ruh here is Jibreel. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ And someone, or some of them said, الرُّوح here is أَشْرَفُ الْمَلَائِكَ يعني the noble angel, the most noble of the angels. The most noble of the angels. And the most noble of the angels is Jibreel. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى On the day when the spirit who is Jibreel and the angels will stand in rows. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا No one will speak except the one that the Most Merciful gave permission to. And in the Sahih, the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, لَا يَتَكَلَّمُ يَوْمَئِذْ إِلَّا الرُّسُلُ Only the messengers will speak on that day. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا أي قَالَ حَقًّا Abu Salih And Ikrima, they said, قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Except the one who says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ And he spoke the truth. Spoke the truth. And the word haq or sawab is used for لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ The word haq in the Qur'an, sometimes the word itself is used to speak the truth, is to speak, يعني, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ As for the people who didn't say La ilaha illallah, what will be said to them? اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Remain there and do not speak. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ is the day of truth. Any the day that there is no doubt that it will come. Bear in mind the beginning, what was the beginning of the surah? The beginning of the surah talked about those people that deny the resurrection. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the state of the people of Jahannam. And then Allah mentioned the state of the people of Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned to the topic that was mentioned at the beginning of the surah. The truth of the day of judgment. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ That is the day that will take place without doubt. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا Ibn Kathir, he said, مَرْجِعًا وَطَرِيقًا يَهْتَدِي إِلَيْهِ وَمَنْهَجًا يَمُرُّ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ Ma'aba, it means marji'a. Because al awb here is al rujur. And some of them said tariqan ilallah. And both of them, and like Ibn Kathir brought the two together. Yani marji'an wa tariqan yahtadi ilay. That whoever wishes, let him take a way to his Lord, and let him take a path that will bring him back to his Lord in a praiseworthy state. Let him choose a method and a way to follow, and a sharia to be upon, that will take him back to his Lord in a praiseworthy state. Because he now has to choose. There is a path that takes you back to Allah, and there are paths that take you away from Allah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ Don't follow the other paths because they take you away from Allah's path. So whoever wishes takes to their Lord a return, a means of return, or a way of return. Ibn Kathir, he brought between the two opinions, because al-marji' is a return, and some of them said it's a path to return. And Ibn Kathir brought the two together. He said that a return and a path by which they can be guided, and a methodology that they can remain upon. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Inna tharnakum adaban qariba." We are certainly warning you of a near punishment. And that near punishment is Yawm al-Qiyamah here. The near punishment here, Ibn Kathir, he said, it is Yawm al-Qiyamah. But that opinion of Ibn Kathir is not the only opinion in the ayah. Adhaban qariba, Qatada, he said, Adhabu dunya. And Muqatil, he said, Yawm al-Badr. And Ibn Kathir, he said, Yawm al-Qiyamah. He said, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And many of them preferred the statement of Ibn Kathir. They said, Ibn Kathir, here it's an adhar. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't mention those things that are coming up to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the day of judgment is near. That's the context of the whole surah, is the closeness of the day of judgment. عَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the closeness of Yawm al-Qiyamah. However, some of them said, عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا It is the adab that is coming to them in the dunya. However, the problem is that if we look at the context afterwards, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَى This is يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ And that's why, generally speaking, the opinion that the close punishment here is يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ This is more apparent from the tafsir, that it's the punishment which is close is يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ And like they say, كُلُّ آتٍ قَرِيبٍ Everything which is coming is close. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَى On the day when a person will see what their hands have put forth. Some of the scholars, they said, here, al-mar, it means al-kafir. The person here means al-kafir. And we covered a lot in Juz'u Amma about the meaning of an-nas, and al-insan, and al-mar. And that these words, most of the time in Juz'u Amma, are used for the disbelievers. Most of the time. Many times they're used for the disbelievers. However, not always. And here, there is no reason to restrict this to the disbeliever, that everyone will see what their own hands have put forth. or what their two hands have put forth. Because everyone will see what their two hands have put forth, Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ And the disbeliever among them will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا The disbeliever will say, how I wish that I could be dust. Ibn Kathir, he has a long statement here which is beneficial. He said, the disbeliever will wish on that day that he was in this lowly world, nothing but dust. And he had lived his life, he had not lived as a person. He had just been dust that was in the world. And that he had never been created as a person. And that he had never been brought into existence. And this is when they see the punishment of Allah with their eyes. And they see their actions which are corrupt, that have been written for them by the hands of the angels who are noble scribes. And it said that he will wish for this when Allah judges between the living beings that were there in the world. And so Allah will separate between them, يوم الفصل, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا Allah will separate between them by His wisdom and His justice, that there is no oppression in it. Even to the extent that Allah will judge between the sheep that had horns and the sheep that didn't. And that when Allah has completed the judgment between them, Allah will say to those two sheep, and the sheep that had horns, the ram that had horns, and it stabbed the sheep that didn't have horns. Allah will say, Kuni turaba, become dust to the animals. And they will become dust. And at that moment, the disbeliever will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba, how I wish that I could be dust like those animals. How I wish I could be an animal and I could go back to being dust like the animals have happened. And there are numerous narrations regarding this, the hadith of Abi Hurairah and Abdullah ibn Amr and indeed others. That brings us to the end of the tafsir of Surah An-Naba, and it brings us to the end of the tafsir of Juz' Amma. Walillahil hamd. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm hoping that we will be able to continue and go further into the Quran with the tafsir, inshallah. But inshallah, I think it's good that we reach this point and we have a lot of books that are not finished. Wallah, we did a lot of little things that we're halfway through them. It's nice to be able to finish a little bit and then maybe after Ramadan we can continue on, or even during Ramadan we can see what the options are like, the timings are like. We can continue on with the tafsir of Juz Tabarak. Does anyone have any questions? Do we have any on the telegram? No questions today, okay? Okay, inshallah, in that case we will stop there, and that's what Allah made easy for us to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi.